I'm a cookie clicker boy, the most special cookie clicker
boy. We're going to talk about cookie clicker in a little bit.
We are. My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I thought I knew the best thing of the week.
My name is Christopher Plant, and I do know the best thing of the week.
My name is Russ Frustick, and I welcome Griffin back to the world of United States.
Can we
the
appreciate
world of America?
Look what Frustick is doing. He said 5 weeks ago that it's a slow, just winding of the spring. Of this getting louder and louder week after week, and he's committed to that. It really has gotten louder each week.
I love it. This is the besties, as you already know, where we talk about the latest in food, decor.
Not fashion.
Nope.
Romance, women's issues, men's issues, cookies, and interactive media. But today we're gonna focus on video games. We're just going to pull the microscope in on those specifically. To find out what the latest and greatest thing, you know, it's not just Pac-Man anymore.
We are gonna go behind the candelabra. Is that what that means?
I think so. I didn't see
it. It means like you just like zoom right in on an issue. You go, you know, behind it like you would.
And also, what is behind? Like, what's the back part? Isn't a candelabra like the same on both sides?
And why do candles need bras?
No, I don't think so. Let me think about it. No. That was a bad thing to say. Who wants to go first? Not Chris Plant, obviously. He lost his privileges.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Because it's a bit of a return from last week, but something new that I discovered over the last week, since it's the only game I've played over the last week. Still Grand Theft Auto.
If by you mean everyone on the fucking earth.
Yeah, my friends list is like every single night. Pretty much one game. And then the sad guy that's like, I only still have Splinter Cell. Anyway, my thing is,
I wish you could have let Splinter Cell have a longer burn. I was really enjoying
it. I was playing that before I left for Japan. I swear to God, I will never return to it.
It's
I will
hella
never,
good.
Ever go back to it's fucking
it's really
great.
Good.
It's a fucking great game, but
it's
like
gone.
I got
it's
GTA
passed.
And then I got my Pokemons. Like, I don't know when I'm gonna find time.
It's like listening to the Beatles again. It'll never happen. Well, can't go backwards. Anyway, my best thing of the week is the best example of buyer's remorse. Brought to you by Grand Theft Auto 5. So it turns
you
out.
You feel bad about buying it?
No.
Instead of just stealing it?
No, actually. I was good. I'm happy with it. But it turns out, and I didn't know this when I was playing earlier, because I guess fewer of my friends were playing. But the game will notify your friends list when you do things in the game. Like, for example, when you like finish a heist or, I don't know. Well, in my case, it was buy a really, really expensive helicopter, like outlandishly expensive helicopter.
Or what if you search the in-game internet for pornography?
Yeah, so that's what I was worried about, is that what are they notifying? Like, they let all my friends know.
50 singles into a stripper's G-string.
They let all my friends know that I went and bought this helicopter to the point where, like, I was getting messages being like, hey, great purchase.
How expensive are we talking? Because like I've got like maybe 50 stacks. I've got like maybe 50 G's in this game. I have no idea.
How much is a G again?
A G is, well, it depends. Are we talking pounds? Are we talking sterling?
We're talking sterling. In sterling.
In sterling, it is approximately 14 pounds sterling.
Okay, so
and 13 pence.
My helicopter was 2 million G's.
What? Where are you getting these G's?
Later in the game, you do heists and they give you money. That's sort of how it works.
Sure, I think it's only 200,000. You're talking about the military helicopter, right?
Yeah. Where are you buying this stuff?
I'm not actually converting from G's. It's just, but it is $2 million.
Where are you buying this stuff?
Off the internet. Got to get really? On that internet soon.
What if it fucking, and then like cops shoot a rocket at it and then you're just out $2 million?
So this is a little bit scattered because we're covering a lot of bases here, but in the case of the helicopters, and I believe the planes, you basically are granted infinite access to this. So every time you run to the helipad, you can just respawn another one.
Okay.
Realism.
So no worries on that. But I did buy a $1 million car that I then left in a parking lot because I had to do another mission, and then it wasn't there when I got back, and I got sick.
It's probably at the impound, isn't it?
Maybe, but I didn't get an email saying it was there, and I'm worried that it's gone, gone, gone forever.
Time to have do you those bought, tow truck missions.
Have you bought all the properties? Like, what? No. I don't understand why you would spend these large sums of money if you're not buying all these properties.
Well, here's the thing is the properties don't really do anything apart from giving you a weekly income, and I already have enough money to buy and sell God. So.
They're exclusive missions.
Yeah, this is a mission. But it's like, yeah, like, oh, we got robbed. Go chase down the robber. Like, I don't care.
And actually, well, they're super time sensitive. So, like, if you don't go take it right away, then you'll just get an email, like, 5 minutes later. They're like, well, I guess we'll just handle it.
But
let's deal with ourselves.
Let me return to my original point because I don't want to get derailed too much. So it's telling your friends on Xbox Live, in my case, like, when you're making these purchases. And it really... And, like, when I, like, finished the main campaign, it let everyone know. And it really made me feel like I was, like, a little too visible. Like, as Griffin was saying, like, let's say I'm trying to get 100% because I'm a crazy person. I like achievements. And one of the things you need to do to get 100% is to go to the strip club and get a doubles dance from the strippers, which I think it's that
the is fact the that case. You know that that's a thing that you can do lets me know that you've already done it.
So let's say that happens, and then let's say my grandma's on my Xbox, and she's like, oh, what's Russ up to? Oh, my word. Like that, dude. Bummersville.
That's really strange. Was that you, or was that one of our frequent guests that made that voice?
That was my impression of my grandma.
That's so strange, because it sounded sorry a lot to confuse. Like somebody who's been a guest on our show before.
It was spot on.
I know. It was pretty accurate. I wish I could, I don't know. Turn it off. I don't want my friends knowing what I'm buying and doing. It's very uncomfortable. I feel like I'm being
but
watched.
It also has that functionality where, like, if you beat someone's score on a mission, then it tells them.
So that's it's fine. Like I don't mind that. But, like let's say I bought a wedding ring for my digital girlfriend. Would she be notified on Xbox Live that I bought the wedding ring?
You just lost me.
That's not a real person.
It is in the game. No, I mean in the game, like the girl that I'm dating in the game.
Like, why would they get a notification on Xbox Live?
They're probably on Rockstar Social Club as well because they live in the world of San Andreas and everyone's part of it. Mm-hmm. It's like Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm just worried about I don't want to be so visible, man.
You actually touched on a larger problem with just Xbox Live in general. I don't really want people knowing that I'm playing video games. Like, that's embarrassing enough.
And I don't really want to play video games with people. You know what I mean? Like, I would rather not have that interaction. I would rather not people know what I'm doing, what I've been up to.
So I want... You know what they should have for Xbox One is the ability to edit your status. And even though you're doing one thing, say, like, playing GTA, you could edit it and say, like, I'm studying the Magna Carta.
And downloading Quicken.
Yeah, and then everyone's really
Justin
impressed.
Justin is now playing Quicken.
Quicken would be so great with Kinect functionality, like pointing to cells and then like...
I'm broke!
Yeah.
Quicken, I'm broke!
Money me, bro. Drop some stacks in my account.
Hook Justin up!
Yeah,
I feel like I need Quicken to manage the 3 discrete bank accounts in Grant. Just fucking put it all in a single...
Just get married.
So that's the thing, is like they would need to have a scene where they're like, okay, we're going to open this joint banking account.
I did that with my fiance like 2 weekends ago. It took me 40 minutes. It's not a fucking big deal. It's a fucking easy, breezy, beautiful deal.
A new joint account. Hi, my name is Michael. These are my associates, Trevor and Frank. We would like to open a new bank account. The name? It's Crime. Crime Incorporated is our business.
I just like picturing this as the beginning of a simple plan. They're like, okay, here's a simple plan. We're just going to put all the bank in the money in a shared account, and all of us can just use it.
You rappel down the side of the building. I will be in the parking lot in the getaway car, and you just go in there. Here's my identification. Here's a check from another account of mine in case they need that information, and then just open it up in all 3 of our names. And then I guess we'll go get in and out.
Sounds good.
It's the perfect crime.
I have
Justin,
one more.
What was your thing of the week?
Wait, no, I have one more thing to say about GTA.
Really?
Yes. I wish Franklin didn't live where he lives in the game.
Why is that?
Because he lives in the most maze-like, impossible-to-drive location on the entire map. It's like every time you need to go to Franklin's house or leave there, you're going through the Minotaur's labyrinth. It drives me up a wall. Anyone else?
I know what you're. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
Jerks. His new house. His second house.
Yeah, his second house, not the first house.
That's spoilers.
Wow.
He gets the second house.
So I am my best thing. Let me preface this by saying I'm the one person that did not spend all week, like on Earth, that did not spend all week playing Grand Theft Auto, because I was working on my my review for Marlowe Briggs and the Mask of Death.
Literally, this is the first time, when you just said that title, it was the first time that it entered my existence.
Correct. It is okay. It is another 505 Games published joint, and they have been adamant about never promoting anything that they publish. They have a strict rule against it. They had it with Brothers. They refuse to let anyone see. You could go to jail for talking about Brothers still to this day. And Marlowe Briggs and the Mask of Death is the same way. It is.
Is it an ARG that only exists inside of the completely unpromoted Brothers?
Whoa.
It is made by, so it's published by 505, and it is developed. It's developed by Zootfly. Now, who is Zootfly? Well,
I think they're probably familiar. Old members of Big Bad Voodoo Daddy would be my guess.
If you know the name Zootfly, you probably remember them from their demo of Ghostbusters that they made that came on the scene like 5 years ago. Remember they made Zootfly made a demo of Ghostbusters that was the talk of the town. So they're from Slovenia, and they also made Prison Break the Conspiracy.
Okay,
right. So now you're into
We're
it.
In.
So Marlowe Briggs and the Mask of Death is
Wait, what is the best? Don't get carried away here. I want to know what the best is.
It's the best mask. Best mask.
I can think of like five masks off the top of my head.
Not as good as this mask, because okay, so Marlowe Briggs is a firefighter, and he has a girlfriend who's an archaeologist. He visits her at a dig site, and he is killed to get him out of the way. Then he is...
Wait.
What do you mean by get him out of the way?
And killed by who?
So he's killed by the evil people that are running the archaeological dig site because they want his girlfriend to translate some codices for them, and they want to kidnap her. So in order to do that, they kill Marlowe Briggs.
So she wouldn't do it just out of, like, her job, because that's her job to translate
She was
stuff?
Getting creeped out, and she actually wanted to leave because she didn't like this job.
Word.
So Marlowe is killed, but when they kill him with this ancient weapon that turns him into the sacred warrior, and he is brought back to life.
They probably should have used a different weapon.
It was poor planning on their part at best.
A gun, or like anything. A big rock, or their own
Name
hands,
it.
Really.
Yep. Any weapon would not have had
They could have just waited for him to die of like natural causes, and
he's
they
would have
been in this predicament.
So he's brought back to life by, I think, the ancient weapon, but he might have also been brought back by the Mask of Death, that is a disembodied mask that was apparently some sort of ruler or king of some tribal people long ago, and now he is a floating mask. The conceit is that he is the camera, basically. So you're looking through the mask's eyes, and he talks with Marlowe as he pursues his quest for vengeance.
Can I ask, the fuck did this human being get turned into a mask? Crush him down into his human essence and then like pour it into a mask mold and then
that is a story for another time.
I'd like to hear it now.
I don't have time.
DLC.
It's just too much. It is actually hinted at in the end of the game.
Is it his face? They cut his face off and then like tanned it somehow?
I can't tell you anymore. I've already said too much. Action wise, it's sort of basically exactly kind of like God of War. You have several different weapons you can switch between on the fly. You have dodging on mapped to the right thumbstick, so he's moving around very fluidly.
Is it the same camera as God of War?
God of War's camera's fixed, yes?
Right? Yes, mostly, yeah.
I mean, you can't control it.
So yeah.
Well, then, yes. Yeah, then that.
But in this
the
case,
same.
You're looking through the eyes of a mask man.
Yeah, but it's not like there's, like, you know.
It's like Latiku in Super Mario 64.
Yeah, not that dissimilar, actually. So he tonally, and this is the thing that I think differentiates this game a little bit. Tonally, it's somewhere between The Last Dragon, Blaxploitation classic The Last Dragon.
Oh my god, really?
And Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh.
Like, it's very silly. It's very sort of self-referential, and not in like a forced way. It's just really dumb all the time, almost belligerently. So there's a level called the level where Marlo hangs upside down from a helicopter.
That's like, the name of the level.
That's the name of the level.
Good for them. 'Cause
you know what he does? You hang upside down from a helicopter and you can swing back and forth and collect orbs. You get experience. And there's great dialogue throughout. At one point, you're fighting a giant squid, and the mask says, "I've never seen so many horrifying tentacles." And Marlo Briggs says, "After this is over, remind me to show you some stuff on the internet." Like, that kind of classic repartee is what makes this the best mask of the year.
That punchline could have been, like, way more offensive.
I probably didn't do it justice.
So it's, it sounds like that Shadows of the Damned in terms of tone.
Yeah, you know what? That's not that far off. Mm-hmm. They don't quite lean into sort. I kind of wanted a bit more. The trailer makes it seem very Grindhouse, I guess.
Okay.
Something closer to like House of the Dead Overkill.
Okay.
And this is not that, but
the gold fucking standard.
The gold standard.
Games writing in general, I guess.
Yeah, right. This is not that, but this is a lot of fun. It's very snappy. It moves you from thing to thing to thing. There's lots of variety in between the actual combat. There's like there's turrets, of course, but then there's also like some vertical scrolling shoot 'em up type levels.
Is it fun to play? Does it feel good to play it?
Yes. Do you like God of War?
Yes.
I like the first two.
Chains, right?
Griffin, you'll enjoy this. Marlo has a ice spell, and sometimes when he casts it, he shouts, "Aw, sleet, sleet, sleet."
Does he really?
Yes.
You're right. Justin, you're right. I did enjoy that.
I thought you would enjoy that. It's really silly, and there are leaderboards. There's these like little twitchy challenges, like the vertical scrolling shooter. There are some like platformy type bits where you're sliding down a mountain and dodging obstacles, and those you can actually replay individually from the main menu and compare your times with friends or people all across the globe. Now, when I say people all across the globe, the important thing to remember is nobody owns this game. As near as I can tell, I'm one of 500 people on the planet that have purchased this product.
So is this a downloadable game? Is it $15?
Yeah, it's on Xbox. Like... It's on PC. It's on Steam and Xbox Live Arcade.
Okay.
And the great thing about it is, because so few people own it, you can really like feel great about the leaderboards.
Yeah.
There of the 8 challenges, I was ranked number 2 in 2 of them. And I was in the top 10 in several others because no one's playing it. So with just a little dedication, you can feel like a real game wizard.
Wow. You didn't push yourself to try and claim the top spot?
Actually, the top spot was so firmly held onto by a gentleman whose username was "I'm high right now." I couldn't get into a battle of wits with
"I'm
high right now."
You didn't think about getting high also? Maybe that was what was giving him his keen edge?
No, I didn't. You're right. I should have thought of that.
It's kind of interesting to think that whenever anyone thinks of his gamer tag, he then becomes high to make it accurate. Like, he might be at work, and then someone, oh my god.
I gotta go get high. Someone just looked at my... Someone's playing Marlo Briggs.
It's the only way to make it authentic. Well, that's a nice little surprise.
It's fun. Yeah, $15, Xbox Live and Steam.
Is there a review up yet?
Should be up today. Maybe tomorrow, depending on when Arthur gets it done.
You want to tell me the score?
I don't know what the score is. We don't.
I mean, yeah, but you say, like, I played 5 minutes of it, and let me tell you, this bad boy's a 7.
Well, it started that way, but then he said, "Aw, sleet, sleet, sleet." So I had to bump it up a few
7.5.
Points.
Sure. You guys want to hear about Japan?
Yeah. You bet I do.
I come bearing gifts of Eastern philosophy.
Okay.
I don't really. I went to Japan for the Tokyo Game Show. I'd never been before.
A whirlwind of news erupted from the Tokyo Game Show.
We got about 70 stories.
It was a lot of stories.
There are, I mean, 70 is a pretty good number.
It's a lot.
I don't But I think you're being facetious there for a second.
Well, I'm only being facetious because while I think it was a lot of stories, and speaking as someone who has covered Tokyo Game Show in the past, I know it can be a little frustrating because you kind of work your butt off for a week, and most of the games that you're writing about either A, won't come out in the U.S., or B, don't really like right. have any like digestible concept going on.
Right. It is a tricky show to cover because like a lot of the games you can play and sort of appreciate them for face value despite the language barrier, and then there are role-playing games and the like, which are like I played like a 20 minute long demo for Lightning Returns, the new Final Fantasy 13 game, and just like no fucking idea what I was doing, what was going on, what was new. Like, they were showing off new stuff, couldn't figure it out. Mike luckily had played it before and could handle that a bit.
And you also probably had a helper with you, right?
Yeah, but not one that spoke English.
Right.
There was very little of that, which is
helpful,
you know,
pointing though.
There's some helpful pointing, yeah. And for some games that worked really, really well. Like I played the Castlevania HD, whatever that 3DS HD remake that they're doing, and you know, pointing at different things on the screen, that could get the point across. But for Final Fantasy 13 Lightning Returns, like, that dog won't hunt. Anyway, it was kind of an outlier year just because Next Gen was there. So there really was a lot of stuff to see. Trying to think, like, the big stuff. Oh, I saw Dead Rising 3, which I also saw at Gamescom, and the frame rate was, like, dog shit at Gamescom. But it's looking way, way better now. They had it locked at 30 frames per second, which is...
Did you play it?
No, still haven't got no go hands-on with it. But, like, you could tell during the Gamescom demo, like, I was very worried. Because that is, like, the only launch day Xbox One game that I would consider picking up an Xbox One for.
Yep.
And it looked super bad.
So,
but TGS, it was running butter smooth. They were showing off some of the co-op stuff, which looks insane. Okay.
Question. Griffin, I don't care about video games. All I care about is one thing. Produce.
I didn't eat the $15 peach. What the
hell?
We walked right the fuck by it.
What is wrong with you?
And I said, oh, there's that big juicy peach. We'll catch it on the way back. Didn't. Got distracted.
Oh my God, Griffin. You've made a lifelong error.
I ate everything else, though. I ate a meat bun. Can I tell the story of Mike and I?
Sure.
misguided sushi adventure. Mike and I went out to dinner the last night we were there, and I wanted to eat sushi, but we were staying in Chiba where there aren't many, like...
It's like fast food restaurants.
Cheapo conveyor belt sushi establishments. So I got on Google, and even Googling things in Japan is kind of tricky because you have to search for the terms in Japanese characters, which means putting it through a translator and then putting it into Google and then hoping that it auto-translates. It's very, very confusing. But I managed to find one, and I thought, oh, great, let's go here. So we went, we walked there, and then we got in. Nobody spoke any English. There were no English menus, and they didn't have those, like, stupid English menus with the pictures of the food. And then you point at the food, and then they bring it to you. And so Mike got on Google, or I got on Google Translate, and Mike opened up a Wikipedia article, and we literally, like, kind of improvised our way through the meal, and it was delicious. It was very good, and we had a good time. And then we got our check, and because we couldn't see the prices on the Japanese menu, we ended up spending $140 between the two of us on our sushi meal.
Oh, that per diem is just right out the window.
It was good, though?
It was good. I'm not sure. We had, like, maybe 10 pieces of sushi each.
Oh, God.
So, like...
Now, was this Jiro? Did you go to Jiro by accident?
We didn't accidentally go to Jiro, no. We weren't in a subway station.
Okay.
The place was very Jiro-esque in that it was just like everybody sits on a long bar and then they make that shit right in front of you. They make like one piece at a time and you eat it. It was awesome. It was great. It's been like, goddamn, $70. I could have had like a super potato orgy with that, with that kind of cash.
So I don't know if I mentioned this when I was there. I had a similar experience where they didn't really have any English menu, but they did give me finally after they realized how confused I was. I asked, and they gave me this. I don't remember if I mentioned this before, but I do want to read this menu that they gave me.
You brought it home with you?
No, I took a picture of it, so it's online.
Oh, okay.
One of the items was beef tongue, and here's the description was, the cow tongue uses streptocarpus. I am wimpy and buy a high-quality streptocarpus with an errand, wall thickness in this shop, and offer cow tongue burning condition. The things which made the cow tongue ground meat prepare for a lot of cooking that I arranged.
I mean, you can kind of figure out what's going on there.
What is streptocarpus?
Sounds the scientific like a disease. Name, the scientific name for what cow meat
My is lord. Delicious food there. Probably the best consistently good food, except no breakfast option.
I ate a lot of balance ups.
Yeah, it's all like fish and rice for breakfast.
Balance ups are these little hot pockets, but imagine they're more like sandwiches with sort of a graham cracker on both sides and then a filling between them. So like it was somewhat familiar, but my first day there I saw one that said cream cheese and I thought, oh, this will be a sweet little treat. And so I bought it. No, they were going with the very literal definition of cream cheese.
Oh.
So it was more like a savory breakfast treat.
Yeah.
I did a bad job at shopping that day. But yeah, I mean, the food is fucking great across the board. I would go back in a heartbeat. Would love to get Justin there. Would love to see Justin in that environment.
Would be in a strange place. I don't think he'd be very comfortable.
We rode the train into TGS on the first public day when like 300,000 people or whatever showed up. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That train car was a rockin'. Nuts to butts.
I have a question. Did no one put Cookie Clicker on their thing?
Yeah,
their
I was thing? Waiting for you to bring it, and then you brought that other game.
That's why I'm so confused. Can I talk about it a little bit for halftime, or do you want to save it for next week? Or?
No, go ahead. We've been moving at a nice, brisk pace.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Cookie Clicker is the best game. That is not a game. It's basically a spreadsheet where you manage cookie production. Sure, you can click cookies, but that's for saps, because as you click cookies in Cookie Clicker, there's one giant cookie that you click. You don't click several cookies. There's
okay, because cookie. I got confused there for a second.
There's one big cookie, you click it, and that gives you more cookies.
Yep.
But just clicking the cookie, like I said, saps, because you can use those cookies to buy other means of cookie production. So like, for instance, the cheapest is you can buy a cursor that will click the cookie automatically for you. Very helpful. Then you can, once you save up more money, you can buy grandmas that will make cookies to help augment your cookie production. The upgrades go all the way to farms and factories and cookie mines and cookies from space, and cookie alchemy, cookie portals.
Okay.
That kind of thing. And each one is increasingly more expensive, but also produces more cookies. There are also upgrades that you can buy that help you increase your overall cookie production, and achievements for reaching certain goals, in quotes. And those give you more milk, and you can buy cats that eat the milk, and always in service of additional cookie production.
Yeah, so Justin turned me on to this. I've been hearing people talk about it for the last like week or so. But Justin, before the show, was like, I'm going to talk about this game, even though he kind of forgot. He eventually remembered, and he was like, you should play it. So I booted it up. It's essentially Candy... What was that game called? Candy Shop?
Candy Box.
Candy Box. It's essentially Candy Box, but where Candy Box had like some modicum of skill requirement, and strategy, where you like had to plan out like potions and like go on missions and stuff. This game has none whatsoever. It's the most mindless game I think I've ever seen.
It is adamant in its, well, the only ways you can, there is a lot of, if you want to do some extensive math, there's a lot of math you can do regarding the best way to spend your money. Cause see, upgrades become more expensive the more of them you buy, like not upgrades, sorry, the equipment. So like a farm or a factory, if I have 100 alchemy labs, for example, or 100 portals, my 101st portal is going to be a lot more expensive than my first one. So you do have to kind of figure what's the best. You don't have to. I guess the only skill is figuring out the best expenditure for your money to increase your cookie production rate. But you're right in the sense that there's not really a skill factor involved. It sort of refuses to do that. It's just about optimizing cookie production. And it is also a fascinating tool. It's really edutainment about how many a trillion is. Because you may think you're making a lot of cookies when you're making a million cookies a second. But a million cookies a second isn't cool. You know, it is cool. A billion cookies a second.
Is there anything cooler than a billion, though?
Well, what I find out is that a trillion is actually better than that. Our friend David Zhao, who, of course, works on Polygon every day to make it the best site he can on our product team.
The best site he can. Like, he knows what he's working with.
100 billion cookies a second he's producing. And you get these updates that are, as the cookies get, at first it's like new cookie recipe discovered, and as you increase your totals to David Zhao type levels, the messages are like all space in universe filled by cookies, no more room for living matter, because I've produced a trillion cookies at this point. I mean, it's no big deal. I don't want to like brag about it. But
does something happen apart from more cookies when you unlock the antimatter condenser, which is the last thing in this store?
No, I have 23 of those. They're not a big deal. There is an end game.
Is there?
Yes. As I have been told, there is an end game. This may be a creative fiction, but as far as I know, there is an end game. Yes.
And when does that happen?
I don't know. I've been trying to stay dark on it. I don't want to ruin any of the plot twists for myself. Besides, I'm really, really, really busy right now these days clicking on cookies.
Yeah, so
I don't really have a lot of time for free reading.
I would say, what are those birds called with the dip?
Angry birds.
No, they dip their nose in the water and then
pelicans?
Pop up again.
Pelicans.
No, I don't mean the living birds. The toy.
Oh yeah, the drinky,
dipping bird.
Drinky.
It's curve. Fair to say that a drinking bird has the same chance of winning Cookie Clicker as Justin McElroy does, which is to say,
given an infinite amount of time, maybe,
yes.
But not really.
What do you mean?
Because I am optimizing production. I'm a people person. I make sure the grandmas are working with people in the factories, and it's just a magnificent. It's magnificent.
Have the grandmas tried to unionize yet, or is it still?
I have some anti-grandmas, which work with the other grandmas. So I'm not exactly sure what they're doing right now, but I really want to boost their efficiency because they are slacking.
Let me talk about the opposite of cookies. Can I transition to mine?
Yeah.
Yes. Sure.
Can I talk about the opposite of cookies, which is vegetables, as we all know. While in Tokyo, I'm kind of breaking our rule of talking about games that are available for everyone to play, because not only is this not a game available to everyone right now, it is a game that will never be available to anyone but me, probably, in the past. It is a game that I played on the show floor of the Tokyo Game Show. Some sort of scientist, I've forgotten his name, showed me the game. I wrote it up. You can read our write-up on polygon.com. It is called Food Practice Shooter, and it is the healthiest game. Food Practice Shooter, which the acronym for which is FPS, right, is a light gun game. And there's a giant Super Soaker-esque light gun that you shoot at a screen at encroaching vegetable monsters. Let me know when you start to fall off the plot, and I'll stop and try and catch you back up. There are three kinds of vegetables that are attacking you. Two vegetables, one fruit. There is bell peppers. There are carrots and tomatoes. So every time you shoot one of these, it depletes your ammo of one of those three types. So you have bell pepper ammo, you got carrot ammo, you got tomato ammo. You shoot a tomato, your tomato ammo goes down. If one of them hits you, your ammo goes down a lot. So if a tomato hits you, you're going to lose a lot of tomato ammo. Etc., respectively. When you run out of ammo, the way that you refill it is you dock your gun. There's a little holster on the floor. You can't just put it in your pants because it's super big. You put it on the floor, and then you eat vegetables, or in the case of this demo, since I imagine real produce won't last very long on the TGS show floor, vegetable-flavored biscuits. You eat it. The scales are weighted. Oh, by the way, you're also wearing a headset that monitors your chewing. So you eat the vegetable-flavored biscuit. The scale detects how much food you've taken. The chew receptor figures out how much you're enjoying the food, I guess, with your chews. And it replenishes your ammo of the type of biscuit that you've eaten. Then to get back in the game, you pick up your gun. There's a camera mounted on the gun facing the player. You have to smile into the camera before it'll start the game back. As if to say, as if to say, yummy yum, these veggies so yummy, Griffin-like. And then the game starts again. Then you blast your way through, right? You blast your way through the level. When you finish the level, it tells you the nutritional value of all the things you've eaten. What's up?
Wow.
Who is this game for? Is it like something you install at a dentist office? Or is this like
I don't
an
think
arcade
so, because these biscuits are fucking disgusting, and they will get all up in your teeth. They're like those little plaque tokens.
Plaque candies?
Little plaque candies you eat that show you where the plaque is. That shit was in, I had like 6 hours later. Like, I whistled, and, like, a piece of tomato biscuit came out.
So would they have to weight it, would they have to calibrate it for different fruit and vegetables, like, when you're using actual ones of those, or is it just sheer weight of veg?
I think that you probably have to program it in, which isn't too hard to do, you know, if I can do it with my Fitness Pal. Some sort of Japanese scientist can probably make that easy to populate in the home version of Food Practice Shooter. But it's so great. The guy didn't speak much English, so he sort of ran me through the idea of the game via a slideshow, and the idea is, like, obviously wanting to form a bond between kids and vegetables. That's why you have
pictures
to smile. Like a positive... Yeah, there was a picture of... And the picture's in the post because it's the fucking funniest... It's the funny... I will never do or say anything funnier than this slide. It is of a man who is, like, half dressed up like a bandit, which is confusing, and he's holding out a fishing rod. And the first slide, which isn't in the post, he had a vegetable in the fishing rod, and a child ran away from it. And then in the second picture, hanging above the vegetable was a Nintendo DS, and the kid was running right for it. The kid
That's
was
smart.
Like, yeah, I want that.
So maybe so he's like the Japanese Hamburglar.
It is tricking kids into eating vegetables by putting them into a video game, and then after you eat these disgusting vegetable cookies, you have to smile. As if, like, I smiled when I ate that vegetable cookie, so I guess I like vegetables more than I thought.
That's a lot of effort.
If we could put fucking Bingo from The Biggest Loser on this, he'd be trim good body instead of afraid of these goddamn vegetables.
You know, they could just, like, give the kids dessert if they eat all their vegetables. That pretty much is a good motivator, too.
Cancels out, though, doesn't it? Because then you know what they're going to do? They're going to frown. There's no... You can't say to your kid, you're going to eat this carrot, and then you're going to fucking smile, and then maybe I'll give you a brownie.
Yeah. Because
then you sound like you're abusive. You're an abusive parent.
But
like
the they're going to get a brownie for something.
You're going to get a brownie, but you're going to smile after you eat that brownie. What they need is a game where you eat a brownie to start the game, but you have to frown the whole time while you play it. Ugh, brownies.
Brownies, disgusting.
I think they could probably work this into... I feel like this was a little bit on the nose. They could just have some sort of, like, Wii U peripheral that shuts the console down every 30 minutes unless you just continuously eat vegetables. There could be a scale... There could be a plate full, like, chock full of vegetables.
What if
and
you
then a timer next to it that says 30 minutes. Or if you want to put your kids on blast, like, 5 minutes. Like, you... Then all of a sudden we're talking about, like, a minute to win it challenge.
But what if, like, the kids got smart and they cut the brownie in the shape of a broccoli?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely possible.
Like an obvious loophole.
Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you're going to have to install some kind of sensors in this kid's tummy.
Yeah.
To, like, detect, like, the glucose that's going in there.
Yeah, this is really just the beginning of this road. There's a long road to walk still, I think.
As long as we're getting it in that kid's organs and stuff. Like, we could just put a tube in there that, like, puts all the good stuff from vegetables directly in. So the problem is that the vegetables in the mouth it's like the worst possible place for vegetables to go.
Right. So you want them to get in, jammed them right in the stomach, they wouldn't even know.
Right. If you want them to get in that tummy somewhere, because once the cauliflower is past your tongue, like, it's, like, not offending you anymore. It's doing you good. It's, like, you have to pass... It's kind of fucked up that vegetables are that way. Like, you have to pass this trial before you can get the
healthy
good stuff from them.
Yeah.
So if we could just, like, get in this kid, get some sort of valve that we can just, like, put the stuff into it, close it, digests.
I like
anyway, it. Just this... If you are listening, scientist who invented this game, maybe make that your next project. Probably going to be a little hard to gamify, but, you know, It's worth if the end justifies the means, I'll cut some kids. Who wants to go next?
Bring us home.
How did we get there? Okay.
I went to Japan. I flew 6,000 miles.
Oh, okay. My thing is best alternative to the massive, or I guess just really long HDMI cable that is running from the PC in the upstairs of my house to the television in the downstairs.
You know what's weird is we don't track live listeners, but for whatever reason, our listeners just skyrocketed. I don't know why. I think it was long HDMI cable probably did it.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I don't cut children during my segment.
Now. It's surgery. It's for science, Chris Plant. You didn't pay attention to anything except the end. No wonder you'd be horrified.
Okay.
All these journalists are going to report from this episode, Griffin McElroy cuts kids because they didn't listen to the whole fucking thing.
You guys hear about the SteamOS thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you know the basic gist? It.
Yeah.
Give me the
elevator pitch. Okay. Maybe I'll get excited this time.
Valve, the people who made Steam, have made an OS, an operating system like Windows, but it's a Linux-based, so it will be free, and people can put it on their computer machines, and it'll mostly be used to run video games, presumably through Steam, and it's called SteamOS. You can also use it to stream games from, say, your PC to a SteamOS device that you can plug into your television, and that's the exciting part, if it actually works. Is I have a computer upstairs. Right now it has a really long HDMI cable that is gross, and I have tape up and down my walls. I look just disgusting. And I can get rid of that. I can scrub the tape goo off my walls, and I can plug in a SteamOS device if it works.
So the thing that I think is confusing about this, and the reason I think that, like, I think maybe they did themselves a disservice by... I don't know. It keeps people talking about it all week, which I guess is a plus. You know, you get the buzz going. But I kind of feel like without the full picture here, it's really hard to judge my reaction to this news. Like, I guess it doesn't matter. Of course, I can't make a buying decision of any sort right now, so it doesn't really matter. But if the thing that they're talking about is a dongle that plugs into the HDMI port on my television...
Mm-hmm.
I would be interested in that as a way to, like, get my PC games to my TV.
Yeah, like, essentially, like, the Chrome thingy that they just got put out.
Google, yeah, exactly. It. If it's that we're talking about, like, I'm kind of into it. And it could still be that. We don't know what'll happen. Well, you know what happens, dear listener, because you're listening to this on a Friday afternoon. But at the moment, we don't know. And if it's just if the Steambox machines, that's what they started talking about on Wednesday... If those are just another PC, I don't really... I'm not sure I understand the utility. Chris, I know you were talking about this on Polygon Live, our new streaming live video show that we do during the week with Chris. What was his sort of takeaway?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you know this about Chris Grant, but he's ever the optimist about new things. He was one of those, you know, the Ouya is going to change the world type of people. He definitely sees the potential in it. I think the conclusion that we came to was this isn't like a console killer, which is one of the original, you know, kind of thoughts or theories about SteamOS, that, you know, finally we'll have a cheap computer that just works and it will be an alternative to the PlayStation, Xbox, and everyone will use it. That doesn't sound like what this is at all. It's the opposite. It's a Linux, so it's going to already be a little confusing for people. It plays less games. There seem to be more barriers to entry than we thought.
But they are going to have, like, they're going to sell a Steam machine, as it's called, and it's probably going to, let's say it costs $700, and it only runs SteamOS. You could also stream it. Wait, one second. You could also stream the games, but for argument's sake, let's just say it only runs SteamOS games. Don't you think that if Steam puts all their weight behind this and... Don't you think that's going to pretty dramatically increase the number of people and game developers that make games that support SteamOS natively?
So it could, or since it's an open OS, somebody could make a unbelievably pirate-friendly version of SteamOS, put it out there, it becomes incredibly popular, and no developer wants to get anywhere near it.
What does that mean, pirate-friendly?
You could make a version of SteamOS that has a program in it that knows to look for the newest versions of torrents for any new game that comes out and automatically downloads.
Yeah, but if you're TV. You have to connect to Steam still, and Steam has security measures.
You don't, because it's open platform, so you don't have to use Steam.
On Linux. You could do that today.
Exactly, but most people don't use Linux.
It sounds awesome. You can get all these games for free.
I just think the problem is, and this is like a classic Valve thing, is I don't know if they know what it is yet. It's just like Greenlight, where they announce these things and everyone gets so excited, and they're like, Valve, man, they know how to do it right. And
then it gets announced, and there's no details. What the fuck did they announce? Like, they announced we're doing hardware and we're partnering with other people to do it too. Like, yeah, dog, you fucking like announced that in February.
Yeah. And it's even, like, I don't think they're going to announce the hardware on Friday. Maybe I'll be eating my words when this goes live. But I think they'll talk about a controller, and there will be plenty of mystery left for the next few months.
I don't think they're going to announce the hardware on Friday. I don't think they'll announce, like, a box, the literal, like, specs of the box or anything like
that. I just think it's so confused. I don't understand. Yeah.
Like, I think it makes sense.
If it's just a stream, okay, yeah. Like, if it's just a little thing.
Like an Apple TV or an
Ouya. Like an Apple TV or whatever. Even. Like, yeah, if it's that and it's streaming my PC games to the TV and it's sort of like a big picture mode adapter, like, I'm into it.
I think that's what's
going to
be one of the options is going
to
be that, though. I think that
I don't understand why it has to be muddied, though, with this box. What I don't understand is the box. I don't understand why I'm going to buy another computer that doesn't do all the things a computer does in service of, like, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, from my perspective... If Valve came out and was like, here's this $400 dedicated, like, agreed-upon specs PC box that you don't have to worry about drivers, you don't have to worry about this and that, you know what games 100% are supported by this box, I'd seriously, like, I don't have a PC right now, I'd seriously consider it.
Right, but you are so in the minority on that.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many people who have PCs. Like, I bought my PC last year, and, like, I bought it, you know, with the intention of it being fairly modular, and that, like, if new shit comes out, I can just fix it up and upgrade it without having to throw the whole goddamn thing out the window.
Sure.
And I won't have to do that if I buy a Steam machine, but, like, I don't want to have two of these fucking things.
Okay, but the question is, do you have that PC hooked up to your TV right now?
No.
Yeah. I have a bigger crackpot theory about it, and that is... Gabe Newell hates Windows. They've said that they don't like Windows 8. They know that if Windows 8's App Store becomes a hit, that it would make Steam somewhat, maybe entirely irrelevant.
I think you mean when it becomes a hit.
Okay, yeah. But with SteamOS, they may eat Microsoft's lunch. I mean, the PC sales are going down. The only PC sales that are going up are game sales. And if all of these, you know, big PC companies give all the buyers an option to say, hey, do you want to take $200, maybe $150 off your computer price, and we'll just install SteamOS, and it'll boot to the games, which is all you're going to use this thing for anyway, that's the threat, right?
Yeah, I want that. That's the thing I want.
But for that to be desirable, they have to get a lot more games working on Linux.
And I think they will.
Or find a wrapper that can make it.
I think they will. I mean, you know, if you look at, like, obviously when Mac support launched for Steam, there was, like, 50 games. And now it's obviously not wide, but it's...
Yeah, there's 55, 56.
No, there's definitely...
New ones added every quarter.
There's definitely quite a few Mac games on there. And I think, you know, we see with Humble Bundle and stuff like that, like, all those come out on Linux and Mac and PC. I would not be surprised if a lot of developers were incentivized to reach this new audience, and you're going to see a lot more support for it.
I guess I just feel like with my PC, the advantage, the thing I like is the not just modular nature of the hardware, but modular nature of the software. I can, you know, if a game isn't on Steam, you know, I can try it out, you know, demos that people release, or even, you know, tiny indie games that don't even justify a commercial release.
Or Cookie Clicker.
Or Cookie Clicker, for crying out loud. Can I click cookies on this?
Yeah.
But, like, that to me is one of the big strengths of PC, and, like, I just don't see a a big range of consumer for someone who wants to pay the same price as one of the new consoles, but like that would go with this box over just buying like a computer. I don't really get. You know, I'm sure I'll eat my words because it's Valve and they can throw, you know, nigh infinite money at a problem. But like, I guess I just don't understand the appeal, and I kind of feel like the onus is on them because I don't think they've done a great job of explaining why I want this thing.
I do wonder if it's an issue of perspective, though, where we were really prepared for this to be kind of an immediate game changer. You know, this box that came out, and it's like, oh, duh, that's the PC that is going to go in the living room.
Right.
And that maybe this
Look under your chair. There's one right now.
That maybe this is a five or even a 10-year game where, as most programs that we use move to be on a browser, that would easily run on Linux, that maybe our desktop will be so transportable, I guess, that it doesn't really matter what platform you use for those programs. In 5 years, most games will be developed for Linux, maybe, possibly, if, you know, Valve has enough sway. And then everything else that I do on my computer, I'll be doing in a browser anyway. So it won't even matter, if I'm on Mac or Windows or Linux. So Linux will become my gaming system, and then everything else will be, you know, what I take to work.
Yeah, I think Valve has a pretty clear long lead idea of where this is going, and I think a lot of people thought it was pretty silly when they first launched Steam with Half-Life 2. Pretty silly. And look at that. It sort of paid off enormously huge for them. So,
oh yeah, and I think most people think this is a good idea. It's just how they're going about it seems.
It's just a very
ironic or half.
Yeah, it is really like there's no elevator pitch to quickly explain what the hell is going on. And I mean, it's a lot of the problem that Microsoft had with the Xbox One and their whole E3 debacle was that like it was so complex to explain how this thing worked. Now, obviously, Steam, you know, isn't talking about anything that would piss anyone off, but it's also like equally complex and hard to wrap your head around. And I think, but that being said, I think they have a very clear idea of like how they want to expand. And this seems like they really would take a chunk out of Microsoft. Like, you know, as someone who has considered getting a gaming PC in the past, this looks like a potentially alternative option.
I guess, absolutely. And I think that there are some people like that. I just can't shake the feeling that if you're the sort of person that would buy a, you know, Steam branded Linux box that plays PCs and also it plays PC games, and also you don't have a PC, but also you're aware of this product, like that seems to me to be a crazy thin.
No,
sliver.
Not if they have a deal with Best Buy. If they have, like, they're selling it in Best Buys and blue shirts are telling people, you know, to buy this thing because it makes gaming easy.
Yeah, I think you're both right. The reality is messaging on PCs in general just has to be cleared up. Because even if you're in Best Buy, I don't think you can trust a blue shirt to explain why a PC is better than...
I will trust a blue shirt with my life.
Nothing wrong with blue shirts. I just would say that most that I've spoken with usually direct me to the Blu-ray section when I ask for a PlayStation.
Also, the Geek Squad knows exactly what they're talking about because they wear ties.
Let them put whatever they want on your computer. You need it. You need it. How else are you going to manage your printer? Think about it. So who wins? That's my question. Who wins this week?
Who's trying to fucking save our youths by piping nutrients directly into their house?
Griffin, there's no way Griffin won because he didn't eat the peach, clearly. And he missed the best produce on the planet.
You have to rub that in, huh?
I think Justin
it was your
won.
Choice.
No, Justin won because his game reminded me of Shadow Man. And I want to play
Wait,
that
why
game.
Did it remind you of Shadow Man?
Because it had the name Shadow Mask, and you wear the Mask of Shadows in Shadow Man.
It's actually the Mask of Death. Did you pay attention?
No, it, not really.
I'm
sorry, talking only... about the same thing, like Shadow Mask of... No.
I only hesitate because I don't think he made a good argument about why this is the best mask of the week.
Yeah.
Did you hear that line about tentacles? That was a stitch. Sleet.
Okay, fine.
You won.
Thank you so much for listening to our program yet again. We sure appreciate you being here. If you want to read more, you want to check out Food Practice Shooter or maybe my review of Marlo Briggs and the Mask of Death, you can head over to polygon.com or follow us on Twitter at Polygon, Facebook.com/Polygon, YouTube.com/Polygon, polygon.com.tumblr.com, and plus.google.com/Polygon.
Rolls right off the tongue and into my brain.
I know, just trips.
Right
trips
in my long-term memory banks.
Oh, and check out our new show if you like listening to things. You can turn it on 2 p.m. Eastern most days. Polygon.
You can find it on plus polygon plus live.org plus Google
Backslash
plus
HTML.
Google Buzz, and then you click on Buzz, and then you go into settings. And then you click enable Polygon opinions.
Yeah.
And then it's gonna give you the wrong URL just because Google needs to do some work on their back end. Throw a few pluses in there, you're gonna be just fine.
This is all in the GTA web browser, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. By the way, you have to do it in the GTA web browser.
Okay.
It's all via Pebble.
Are you telling me you guys didn't search porn in the GTA web browser just to see what came up? I wasn't looking to be aroused by Grand Theft Auto. I just wanted to see what came up. I did it on Jimmy's computer because I thought if anyone's going to have some shit bookmarked, it's going to be Jimbo. Wildly disappointed.
You don't mean Polygon video shooter.
Yeah, I was confused
Polygon
too.
Producer. Jimmy Shelton. You mean Jimmy?
No.
That's what I thought. That's what I was like, wow, too. That's a real thing to
say. No, I was talking about the in-game character, Jimmy.
I thought you were in Tokyo, found Polygon's own Jimmy Shelton's computer. So that's going to do it for us this week of the Besties.
Make sure probably into some shit
next
too,
Friday for the Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best things?
Besties!